Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. This episode, I'm introducing you to an idea, to a mindset, to a way of looking at your life and marriage that will help you become the hero of your story, attacking the storm of life, attacking the storm of your feminized shitstorm. Life becomes a blank canvas. Life just keeps getting better and better and better, and you live in a reality where you know, hey man, the best has yet to come. That is your reality. And yes, that is available to you. Listen in, especially if what I'm after describing is far from your current lived reality. If certain parts of your reality feel more like there's a daily struggle, it's a daily struggle to meet the storm of your wounds, the storm of your queen, that feminized shitstorm that comes out. If it's a struggle for you, if you feel imprisoned in moments or maybe very often in the octagon of marriage, if there's this sort of, man, can't live with her, can't live without her, just all this type of ways of relating with our queens. If you never get what you want in life or in marriage, now I mean get what you want, like consistently as a repeatable process in the bedroom, you know, in communication with your queen and in your married life. Do you ever feel that your best is never good enough? Do you ever have struggles in dealing with your queen's irrationality and criticisms? Feeling like she's never really ever fully happy with what you're doing, and you feel unseen in the amount that you do. You know, you're a good guy, you've good intentions, you're ticking tons of boxes, you know, 20 times more boxes you're ticking than your dad before you and definitely your granddad before you, but she's still not happy enough. It can feel like a desperate situation. And the unspoken in the majority of husbands out there is this sense of hopelessness and helplessness of, you know, what more can I do? So if that's more along your lines, definitely listen in. It does not matter how bad you perceive your married life situation is now. There is always radical hope. The reason why I'm bringing this here is mindset shift changes everything. It's like if you have, you know, a blue visor in front of your face, everything seems blue. If you put blue as the, you know, as the representation of, you know, blue is sadness and unhappiness, etc., etc. But if you put, like, if you just take that visor down and you put whatever, like something that puts reality into a, like a technicolor, fucking beautiful display of miraculous wonder, that's what a change of mindset makes available to you. And it can happen in an episode, and I'm going to pack this in as much as possible. This is a game-changing paradigm shift for every single one of you. There is not one of you listening in that this is not a relevant message for. It's inspired by a recent talk that I heard given by Simon Sinek. I love Simon Sinek's work. He started with Why. He's quite a famous leadership teacher at this point. And it's a book, his talk was inspired by a book entitled, written by him, The Infinite Game. And that book is based upon, I believe it's James P. Carse's similar titled book from quite a number of years ago. And it draws the distinction between finite games and infinite games. Finite games can be broken down into three different component parts. They have known players. Number two, they have fixed rules. And number three, they have an agreed upon objective. You know, examples would include football, chess, sort of pretty much any sporting endeavor or games. Of course, online computer games, there's known players, fixed rules and agreed upon objective. You know, the known players, if you go, I can speak about football, you might call it soccer in the US. You know, it's 11 aside, 11v11, fixed rules. You know, it's there's a precise international rules and might be updated at different periods, but everybody knows and everybody goes by the exact fixed rule book. And we can argue about the interpretation of the referee on the day, of course, and the intensity of it, but by and large, it's meant to be as black and white as possible. And the agreed upon objective is like, hey, the objective of soccer is to score as many goals, and the one that scores the most goals wins the match, wins the tournament, etc. Every single one of you will have an idea of this perspective. In fact, it's so all pervasive that we end up viewing life, and in this context, viewing marriage, within the same type of expectation of it being a finite game. Infinite games have known and unknown players. So it's not just known. There's unknown players in there. It shakes things up. Infinite games, number two, they have changeable rules. Rules that evolve over time. They change. It's not so fixed. It's not so predictable. And number three, there's no defined endpoint. There's no agreed upon objective. So finite games have known players, fixed rules, and an agreed upon objective. Infinite games have known and unknown players. Number two, changeable rules and no defined endpoint. Now, what the hell does this have to do with you and marriage? Stick with this. This is the blank canvas game, is the difference between if you approach your marriage as a finite game versus if you approach your marriage as an infinite game. You saw the breakdown what I said at the beginning. If you desire to have your life feeling like you are the direct hero of the story, attacking the storm of life, it's a blank canvas, it just keeps getting better and better, the best is yet to come, fucking go, it doesn't matter if you're 30 years old, 40, 50, 60, 70, you get to a certain point, but it's like, if you have life in the body yet, and a breath and a heartbeat, and your queen is there, the infinite game is the most empowering way to look at it. Yet, the warning sign here, 99.9% of men are looking at marriage from a finite game. I'm going to break this down. The difference between finite games, the finite game paradigm of looking at your marriage, and the disaster zone that creates unwittingly in its wake. Not just for you, but for your queen, for your kids, for the next seven generations after. It's truly spellbinding. And then the flip side, stick with it, is how you can shift that and the difference it makes to look at your marriage and every component part of it through the lens of the infinite game. It's that multi-technicolored fucking epic reality that's available to you. So finite games have the known players. Go through it bit by bit. You know, when you look at known players, how that looks like in marriage and the problems that it ends up creating, you know, it's a head in sand attitude to external marital players being something to acknowledge. It's politically incorrect to go into the shadowy realms of shadow sexual desire, the primal nature of man and woman, that there is this raw sexual energy that's there. But it's like, you know, head in the sand. It's like, let's not talk about it. It's just like, we're husband and wife. You know, we did the vows. We did the church thing. We did the marriage, or wherever it is you did it. You know, let's just not talk about the other shit. Major signs of this that comes up is, and I'll speak to signs that come up within husbands. Of course, the opposite can come up in wives. Again, I'm working with you guys as 100%. It's your 100% I'm focusing your full awareness on, so you can become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship, which is a deeply masculine gift to the relationship. You be the hero that transforms the whole thing. It's the fucking most wondrous gift, and your queen is looking for that, man. Major signs that, you know, there's a discomfort with the unknown players is, have you ever gotten prickly when your queen gives you feedback on, you know, soft boundaries? You know, she might say, is, you know, something about, you know, the way you're relating with somebody that's a friend, female friend. And like, you might exclaim, say, oh, you get defensive. It's like, well, we're only friends. I mean, we're just talking. Or she might have this intuitive sort of awkward feeling about a colleague that you're working with, and you might defensively get back and say, oh, but she's my colleague. I mean, what the hell can I do? I was like, I have to stay on to finish the project with her. But your queen is feeling something unspoken in the midst of it all, and she's meeting a tsunami, a wall of reactivity with you when she's questioning you on it. Symptoms of, you know, the finite game, that there's just known players, and there's a total disregard and ignoring of the fact that there's actually unknown players that are there, is, you know, outrage at being called out for soft boundaries with other women. Infidelity, it's quite a clear one. It's like, oh, we're all just known players. It's just, you know, just Tom and Mary. It's husband and wife. Traditional style, we're just the known. There's known players in this game. We don't speak about the unknown. When you don't speak about the unknown, it's like, it's the old, you know, the... We get tempted to sin when it's not being spoken about. It's really this dark side. The dark side of our psyches is way more ruinous and tempting when we don't get to speak it and own it. So infidelity is birthed very often out of, hey, there's just never any speaking about the unknown person, the unknown woman, the unknown role reversal of man that's there. Porn addiction is another one. It's like, hey, there's no speaking about sexual attraction, the primal energy of it, the fact that it's there pulsating in yourself, in your queen, not going there, sexual shamed from society to organized religion. So porn addiction is another one. It's like, hey, it's just like this secretive thing, just brings a lot of shame, but it happens. Because why? There is this part of you that if it doesn't get channeled in a conscious way, it will express, shadow will express unconsciously through you and through your queen by extension, speaking with you, if you don't bring it out in the open. But this is like one of the core ruinous ideas of playing marriage as a finite game, imposing that there should be known players with no unknown. Secret fantasies. Secret sexual fantasies that roll out, that you can become obsessive in your head about the new, I don't know, the new woman at work, the person that you go get your massage from, your therapist if she's a woman. You can create, it's not uncommon to create sexual fantasies that are quite energizing inside of yourself. Second, the fixed rules. Finite games, the finite game paradigm of looking at your marriage consciously and subconsciously, the driving force of having fixed rules. Think about certain, like, what are the rules of marriage? Well, if you look at the marriage vows, sort of the traditional ones, and I do appreciate, hey, if you're like me and my queen, we didn't do it in church, and that I will speak to the Western society general type ways of it. I have not went into go into multiple different breakdowns of different traditions, but I just want to say I'm cognizant of that when I speak to it. You will all have had maybe varying varieties of this. But, you know, they can be put to, you know, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. It's like the fixed rules. The fixed rules I would like to speak to, you know, in the finite game that we lean in on, to, I would say, is like to tick a box of, Tony Robbins says, certainty is the first foundational human need, that we need to have certainty, you know, to feel safe. Certainty, I know exactly what's coming up. I know my environment. I know the rules and guidelines. I know how to fit in. Societal fixed rules. You know, it's like the fixed societal rules of, you know, you get married, then you develop your career progression, you have children, you know, you send your planning, your kids' university from the moment they're born almost, then it's like you've been investing into your pension, getting there's retirement, and hopefully you'll have provided for your family, you'll have a nice house, home, holidays, and all the rest. I mean, that's the societal fixed rules. Anything outside of that, like if you go radically different, you get kicked back from everybody. So we end up ticking the boxes of these fixed rules, a finite game of known players. You've seen the problems that come with that, and the fixed rules. We end up unwittingly ticking the boxes of fixed rules in a from a finite game approach subconsciously. Now, part of the fixed rules is, and this has been like indoctrinated into us, I'm going to go super general with this, but like there's the good husband role. What's the good husband role? The belief is, you know, to be a hard-working provider. And at home, you know, loosely, maintenance of garden, house, and car. That's where it's like, hey, that's where we have the belief system. That's my role. We do get called into deep intimacy. We get called into parenting. We get called into all the emotional stuff. But what we were conditioned to believe through hundreds of thousands of different stimuli placed upon us from the moment we're born till we end up coming into marriage and beyond, you know, through modern media, is that there's the good husband role, a hard working provider, get to work, that the career, the external mission is everything and anything for a man. We've been bombarded with that to the point in which we don't feel that we belong at home. So that's a good husband role. Then there's a good wife role. Again, indoctrinated into us is like unconditional support of husband's career / provider role. So it's like, be the smiling wife that, you know, when he comes home, that you don't give him shit. And if you do give him shit, there's this sense of feeling guilty that you're giving him shit, feeling guilty that you're ungrateful. You're an ungrateful woman. But the impulse is coming through women anyway. This is very, very common by women, to report of feeling guilty for giving her man shit. I know that might raise eyebrows. You'd be like, my wife never feels guilty giving me shit. In the moment, afterwards, it's a crisis of conscience for them many times. So the wife, the good wife role, is like a non-complaining martyr, sacrificing self for family, for the family and homeliness maintenance, you know, like that nest at home. That's the feminine role. Now, I'm not saying that we play this role to perfection. That's like the indoctrinated, conditioned role. They're the fixed rules. When we deviate from them, we end up feeling sensations of guilt, of shame, of anxiety. So it creates such a problem for us. Again, the fixed rules. Now, this is binary. I'm putting it black and white. I just want to make it safe for you. It's black and white. I'm giving the caricatured, you go 100% with finite games, and then the caricatured, you go 100% with infinite games. Some of you might be sort of in a way in between. You're sampling different ways. So, but stick with it. Keep it binary in your mind so you can feel the pang of, oh my fucking God, I do not want to be caught with my balls in the vice of the fixed game perspective. The symptoms of the fixed rules element of the finite games approach to your married life and marriage and deep intimacy with your queen is, you know, the symptoms are you feel unseen in all that you do. You know, you're doing so much as a husband. I never feel that she appreciates me. There's a common sense of boredom with life. A lack of libido, but life libido. Libido for life. Zero or faltering, meandering sex drive. It's up and down. But over time, it tends to peter out. Resentment. Resentment that you're not getting what you want. Sadness / depression. Functional depression, as a couple of guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles have said, it's like dysfunctional depression, a background sadness that only when they listened to one of the episodes that I said, they were like, they recognize, like, wow, I've been depressed for so long, and their queens along with them. Dis-ease, a lack of ease in the body, dis-ease forms physical symptoms over years. When you don't have ease in the body, dis-ease will form. Overwhelm, getting caught in your head. What? How many guys, like, it's the vast majority, report in intro calls getting caught in your head. And then sentimentality about the good old days. Do you ever find a part of you going, oh, you know, the good old days, internally, or if you get with college friends or friends from childhood, it's like, oh, the good old days when you were free, when you could do what you want, when you could get up in a bike and piss off, or get up in a, you know, in a camper in your early days, and you just went kayaking, mountain biking, you were just free like a bird type shit. That's a major, major sign. It's a symptom that you are unwittingly, subconsciously following a fixed rules, finite games perspective in your married life. Again, the good news in all of this, I want to remind you, if this is uncomfortable, good. It's the discomfort that wakes you up. It will woke me up. You know, it's like, it's only when you get uncomfortable that that discomfort is like, wow, there's something true in this for me. The truth hurts type thing. Stick with it. The truth hurts, but it's the truth that sets you free. And the freedom element comes definitely in the second half of this episode. So we've been through the finite games perspective on married life, the known players idea, and the symptoms of that, the fixed rules idea. Societal fixed rules, good husband role, good wife role, etc. And the symptoms, those horrible, ball-eroding, heart-breaking symptoms. Then there's an agreed-upon endpoint. Finite games have an agreed-upon endpoint. It's like, you know, there's battle, but then, you know, soccer, football, hey, 90 minutes. And, you know, if the ref goes beyond a few minutes without explaining it, there's exact consequences for the referees. So there's a very definite endpoint. Literally, the agreed upon endpoint, in some ways, like we're locked into this together until death parts us. Which one might say, it's like, if that's done, but within the container of that, there's radical freedom, freedom of expression, like fucking cool, man, like till death do us part, beautiful, an agreed upon endpoint. I would say, like, the agreed upon endpoint, it's okay, there's till death do us part, that's the macro, but on a micro level, the most all-pervasive thing that I'm witnessing, that I've witnessed in myself, first and foremost, for first 12 years of marriage, and hey, it still comes up a little bit in times, but I definitely see it's an all-pervasive sign in guys, where guys report, it's like there's this desire that there'd be a magic bullet where, you know, if I just join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, that's it. You know, after 3 months, I'm done. I've mastered marriage. She's not giving me any more shit. The stress is over. I have arrived. Like, there's some point on the horizon when all your problems can be resolved. There's like an end point. Again, it's a finite game. It's the one of the core elements of a finite game approach is when you really don't like conflict, or there's a part of you in every single conflict with your queen that there's a part that's unexpressed of, is she fucking ever going to be shut? Is she ever going to be quiet? Why, you know, like, have you ever imagined or thought or spoken out loud, why are we talking about this again? Why is this always an issue? There's some part of you that has this definite desire of, can we not just be shut of this issue? Can we not just stop arguing? Can we stop? Can we just get to the point where I can be at peace? Every single guy I've spoken to one-on-one and in group, the laugh, when you're there and you're feeling safe and you're feeling seen, and, you know, and there's other dudes there, it's like every guy is hands up going, yeah, fuck. Like, that's every single conflict, every single argument, every single time she's wanting more, you know, deep, intimate sharing, like for me to be more emotionally in tune, etc., etc. The type of shit that we struggle to deal with, we're wanting an end to the struggle. Symptoms of having this desire to have an end point to the pain and the suffering. You know, we want the nice shit. It's the can't live with her, can't live without her. I can't live without the affection, the nice shit. There's beautiful stuff there. When she laughs, it's nice. Fuck it. It's nice to have sex, to have somebody there that's a life companion. But I can't live with her. I can't live with what comes with that. That in repeated same shit, different day shit that she's giving me. The conflict avoidance is a symptom. Resentment is a major symptom. Blame. My God, she's never happy, and it's she's at fault. She's just complaining. She's not grateful. She never sees or appreciates anything. And you can have, if you're like me, you can have these inner ideas and thoughts where, man, you know, how lucky is she to have gotten me? I'm such a nice guy. I do all of this shit. I mean, if there's 1,000 women out there, I mean, they're going to be lucky to get me. And yet she can't see how brilliant I am. Which, when you're thinking like that, you're actually, the opposite side of that coin is how fucking bad she is for not noticing it. It's exceptionally one-sided. But it's a symptom of this agreed upon endpoint where you're trying to get to the end of struggle. Another symptom is, secretly or not so secretly, flirting with leaving wouldn't be such a bad idea. It's like, oh, I could get beyond this. You know, like maybe, okay, divorce, there's the kids, but, you know, weekends with the kids, I can do that. It could be good. It could be fine. So long as I would be rid of the problem. Again, it's a finite game when there's this ongoing tension and this, the end point of the game doesn't stop where, okay, I'm proclaimed victor. The tournament has come to an end. When that doesn't come, that pressure created not from your queen, but from your paradigm at looking at marriage, it gets you stuck in the same shit, different day mentality. And from there, you're never going to feel that you're winning a marriage. And from there, from the resentment, from this entire paradigm of the fixed rules, of the known players and not speaking to the, you know, to the other elements of sexual attraction that are real, that you're a needs-centered human being. And if your needs aren't being met, you are going to naturally look to other options to get your needs met. With all of this and with no agreed endpoint and that pressure cooker that's like, oh, will this ever end? And you expecting that it should end. The success point, that it's a rational, reasonable thing to assume deep down that, you know, success in marriage is the point at which there's no more arguments, there's no more stress, you know, she's just happy. In fact, many, many guys, I was unwittingly guilty of this, many guys can reach a point where, you know, I thought we were going good because she just stopped giving me shit. She stopped complaining. And then there's this shock and horror when she falls in love with another man. It's like, hey, that's so unfair because for the last year, 2 years, 5 years, you haven't been complaining. You've been getting on with things. Where did this come from? Or she slaps you with divorce papers all of a sudden. It's like, but you stopped because she stopped complaining. You were thinking you were winning because coming from the finite games perspective, you're like, oh, you know, the end of struggle. I was there, guys, leading up to my queen falling intoxicatingly in love with this other dude a few years ago. I was sort of in this comfort zone of, you know, the wool over my eyes thinking, you know, we're doing good. You know, the major drama had sort of dampened down for years and we were getting on with shit. We had a new home. Yeah, it was stable. We were solid. I was totally fucking unconsciously self-delusional. Because I was coming at it from, using this language, a finite game. It's like, oh, I'm winning. There's no massive drama or struggle anymore. So I must have won the game. I got ripped out of that perspective when, hey, that marriage breakdown, breakthrough moment came. But it was a symptom of the underlying fucking astoundingly destructive perspective of coming at it, looking at my marriage like it was a finite game. So that's the, I really do hope, no, I expect that you rational minded, sharp brained sons of guns are getting it really clear that yes, you have unwittingly, no fault of your own, you know, you're not alone in this. This is the fault is with the profoundly sick society that we have been indoctrinated into. But you need to become aware. You're not responsible for the environment, for the society that you grew up in. But you are completely able to respond with what you now do, with the nervous system that you have, with the mind that you have, with the mindset that you have. You're 100% responsible for that and the consequences and results that you are creating in your reality. And if you're listening into this podcast, your mindset, your approach is not supporting you to transmit a message to your body and nervous system to evoke a response from your queen that is fucking gloriously beautiful and joyful for you and for your queen. So this is heroic humility time. you know, it, your opinion on this doesn't matter. I say that to guys. It's like guys will start arguing back, and it's like, oh, yeah, they'll argue back. I'll give them feedback, and they'll start arguing. It's like, oh, but I don't agree with that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, cool. Your opinion matters nothing on this. And they feel the sting of that, because it's like they argue back with their wives. It's like, oh, well, you're saying that, maybe, but like, blah, 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 blah. And they vomit out this stuff. I did it for years. Why I call guys to account like this is like, your opinion matters nothing. Because why? Your wife isn't fucking happy. Your wife is seeking divorce. Your wife has cheated with another man. Your marriage is in the shitstorm. You haven't had sex in like 3 years. You're sleeping in the bedroom. Or whatever your version of that, it's like, your opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion clearly is not working. So fighting to argue for your opinion when the results aren't there. I am a results-based human being. My entire approach now, because, and it's actually shifting to the infinite game, is I'm a results-based human being. I don't care about the known players. I don't care about the fixed rules. I don't care about like my mindset and the opinions. Everything is in flux. Everything is flexible, is movable, is evolving, because I'm constantly looking and going, hey, Mark, if you're thinking this and it's bringing that result from your queen, if that result is like pretty shitty, well, then your thinking is off. If you're saying this and every time you say it, hey, she never responds to it, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter that I have learned, you know, the fixed rules, the known players, the agreed upon endpoint, the finite game. It gives me certainty. I'm just going to sit here arguing with her until we fucking die unhappily together or one of us divorces. But I'm going to stick with the game. I know. I'm not going to do that, guys. And that is the heart essence of the infinite game approach. It's, there's no stop to it. There's no end point. Let's start with the known and unknown players and what this brings. This is arguably one of the most important parts of the marriage approach. I've spoken before, at the core of my marriage transformation, didn't happen overnight, but at the core, the simplicity that brought to was like, I wasn't shaming myself anymore, and I wasn't blaming my queen. I formally took morality out of my marriage approach as much as I could, as cleanly as I could, and I've been ironing it out ever since. But it's like morality was gone. It's like there was this thing of blaming my queen for what she was doing. I could have blamed her for falling in love with that dude, for like having no boundaries with him, etc., etc. I could have continued shaming myself for the sexual fantasies I was having about my queen's friends and sister and like different things. It was like, and my lack of boundaries with other women. I could have shamed myself. I was like, hey, screw that. Not working. It really, really was not working. And I would extend that invitation to you. It's like, challenge yourself. Blame your queen, shaming yourself doesn't fucking work. Take morality out of it. The known and the unknown players, I would say it's like, hey, the known, cool. Like, acknowledge. Husband, wife, king, queen. You know, like, whatever words you want to use with it, fucking cool. It's cool to have that known. You make it formal. You go, hey, do you want to do this? Like, till death do us part, or whatever your terms are, your vows are. Wonderful, that's the known. I would say known and unknown. The infinite games has the unknown players. In marriage, when I read that term, guys, what comes up for me is like, I would say every man and woman you meet who can tempt you, seduce you, make you think twice about your marriage, plant seeds of self-doubt, seeds of, oh, you know, that was a nice smile. What did that do in my nervous system? To, at least within yourself, maybe you're not ready to bring that up with your queen. Maybe your queen wouldn't meet you there. I know my queen, on this exact point, she's like, hey, Mark, I love you doing like the sexual shadow work. She's like, I know the results. You're infinitely more trustworthy. Etc., etc. It's like, I don't really, she wasn't ready to go there. She's like, I don't know will I ever want to go there. It's like, I trust you. She really trusts the teachers that I discern to choose to support me on the path. She's like, knock yourself out. Cool. Brilliant. From when you rip morality to the side and you bring in the unknown players, like morality to the side, guys, I find that definitely within yourself, it's essential to accept that we are needs-based human beings. The main reason for initiating infidelity is feeling lonely. One partner or both partners, but the partner that ends up, you know, being guilty, quote unquote, like the guilty of infidelity, cheating on the other partner, is feeling lonely. You know, there's this oversimplification that it's like, oh, there's just this sexual desire. There's a lot of shaming. And it's like, it was just, he was thinking with his pants or she just fucked around. And we can judge the person. They were feeling exceptionally lonely. Then, of course, sexual passion, desire, feeling alive comes with the experience. But the initial predominant reason is people report they were feeling lonely. Their human needs of feeling seen, heard, safe and supported in their authentic human evolution and expression wasn't being met, not even close to being met within the marriage that they had created with their partner. When those human needs are not being met and your full authentic evolution as a human being, you don't feel safe to bring it. Your queen doesn't feel safe to bring it, you know, in your presence. Well, then, funnily enough, the unknown players become a major risk point. As I said in this episode already, if you're new to the movement, I've mentioned many times before, you know, I was fixed in the fixed game mode of, hey, the two known players, my queen was saying, oh, I'm happy, I'm fine. And like, I now know, looking back, she was living in total hopelessness. I now more emotionally in tune, but, you know, stuck in my mind, I was like, oh, I've ticked the box. She's finally settled. She's not complaining anymore. Good, you know. I'm her husband, she's my wife, we're going to settle with this, cool. I like the certainty of, you know, the same thing showing up every day. I like the consistency and the certainty. But the unknown player nearly collapsed the entire stack of cards. It was only because I got my spiritual ass into fucking gear, guys, and started taking extreme ownership that I pulled the thing around. I'm very, very grateful I did. The major pothole was I was pretending there were no unknown players. And the role reversal, that dude brought up a lot of the symptoms of the finite games approach both myself and my queen were using. But hey, there was tons of symptoms there that I've spoken before. My soft boundaries with other women, the inner fantasies. Major issues were the unknown, the unexpressed needs, the unowned desires, etc., were finding their way into expression in a secretive way that was eroding my connection with my queen. So, in the infinite game, what's available to you, and again, trust your intuition on this. Maybe you're at a point that you've established a certain safety within your nervous system that you can approach the topic with your queen. I would say definitely to start within yourself is to have open conversations about your needs and dreams and desires and goals. Inner conversations. Start getting clear about, you know, what your needs are as a man, what are your non-negotiable needs, what your dreams, desires, goals, things that you want to do, you know, what's on your bucket list, is there a career change that you've been putting off, etc. It is a beautiful conversation to invite your queen into, because until you have a clear, open conversation flowing, not one conversation, don't pretend that, you know, if you're like myself, my queen, it's like, it's the infinite game, you know, the finite game, we're going to have one conversation and that's it. It's going to be the conversation of all conversations and we're going to finally be done with the struggle. Again, it's like why guys back off therapy, why we back off deep inner work. It's like finite game. Why is it always fucking painful? Why is there always a struggle? Because, man, it's a spiritual game. And the only reason you're seeing it as a pain, as a trouble, is you're looking at it from the finite game. You want this pain to end. But that's the spiritual journey, man. That's life. It's only when you go, hey, boom, fuck yeah, it's the infinite game, I'm here, is you now get excited with the struggle. The struggle is a sign that you're on the hero's path. You're like, yeah, come on, man. You know, no pressure, no diamond. The obstacle is the way. It's inspiring. So the second part of Infinite Games as being the most empowering approach to view your marriage with your queen, your deep intimate spiritual journey inside of yourself and shared with this beautiful sacred human being that you call your wife, your queen, have changeable rules. Infinite Games have changeable rules. The rules change as you evolve. I know my queen and myself, when we were finally getting radically real with each other, just it was root level honesty going, no bullshit. We were putting fucking to the side out of pure necessity, actually. It was breakdown, breakthrough. It's like if we didn't communicate to the level we communicated, the whole thing would have fallen apart, which would have been a tragedy of all tragedies. And I say that, guys, now, how desperately close we were on the verge of coming apart, but how far we've come. And I see the guys within Heroic Husbands men's circles, how far you can come from the depths of divorce, from the depths of separation, from the depths of hopelessness where there's like no coming back, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, to coming to the full light of, hey, the infinite game approach. Stick in the game, guys. But when my queen and I, we were having conversations about this, one thing that we said, we were like, okay, you know, we don't want to break up. We were clear in that. It's like, we love each other. There's enough good there that's worth protecting, that's worth nurturing, that's worth fighting tooth and nail for. But we were like, what is the point where it just makes sense to go, enough, tap, let's call a day on this? And the criteria we set was, if one of us point blank refuses to grow or evolve, sort of settling with a, I am who I am, take it or leave it attitude, then that would be a grounds for calling it a day. We got really clear on that. We were like, if one just knocks their head on the ground, and apart from one conversation, but really just grounds in going, I am who I am. I don't want any more newness coming from you. I don't want any more, you know, radical shit. Like, this is just who I am. It's same shit, different day. I know who I am. I don't want any more conversations about it. Like, enough of this inner growth, spiritual shit. That's it. We set it in that, hey, that's the rule. Like, death till death do us part is like, fuck that. You know, like, we brought in a changeable rule that served safety in the relationship. I'm not saying that that has to be the one for you. A lot of boy bitch energy could bring that in as an excuse to jump out. Oh, my queen doesn't. I hear that a fucking lot. My queen doesn't want to grow. She's not doing all the work I'm doing. Total fucking boy bitch bullshit. Honestly, the amount of times I've had it tested where my boy bitch energy has come up with that as an excuse to close down with my queen. But I'm like, hey, she's growing. If she's closed up shop in front of me in this conversation, it's because I haven't dropped my spiritual balls enough, and it's on me. And that, taking extreme ownership, shifts the moment every single time. The holding space, the changeable rules, is absolutely necessary. Because if you go with the fixed rules of, you know, marriage, then career progression, then children, then university, then pension, then mind your parents, then your retirement, then playing golf and living unhappily ever after with just ticking the boxes, and if you have a little bit of sex all the way along that eventually peters, that's part of the story, just go with it. Anything outside of that, you know, what you're really doing in the infinite game, and the infinite game, that's what we do here at Be the Husband She Brags About. That's the Heroic Husband's way in the movement. You are holding space for the full lifetime of evolving human authentic expression to emerge. Lifestyle evolution is a way of life. You know, it's you remain open for evolving career choices, hobbies, new desires of travel, living options. Like, oh, but I just always wanted like the two-bedroom living in this locality. It's like, really? Well, what the fuck happens when I don't know, your queen just desires to go to that country. She's always been speaking about it. Are you going to stay stuck with, this is the only community for me because these are the people I know and love, and like my mom and dad is down the road and blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey man, is that your value? Cool. If your wife really had a desire to go crazy and go wild, would you meet her there? Would you get creative? Would you like be able to, you know, world travel, you know, 4 months a year, live in the place you love, and 8 months or six and six, whatever. Would you love her that much? Are you that creative? The infinite game is a game of infinite adaptability and flexibility. The only limit in the infinite game, the only limit that is perceived, is a limit of your own creative thinking. There are no fixed rules. There's no agreed upon endpoint. The known players, fuck the known players. We're need-based human beings. There's unknown players all out there that could meet the needs of your queen better than you if you're being a same shit, different day douchebag. The infinite games is you are so open-minded. You have such changeable rules that can hold space for whatever comes through your queen, whatever comes through myself, whatever comes through, you know, your kids, that collectively, the ecosystem of your family unit, you will do whatever is necessary to support the radical, authentic truth coming true. My queen recently, well, she's been at for a number of years, but on and off, but she's really gone gung-ho, writing her novel that she has put to an agent. Like, the changeable rules were in full use of making space. All of a sudden, like, tons of things that she had been doing in the ecosystem of her family unit running, it was like, okay, Mark, this, I don't know, an agent put it out that it's like, hey, she was, you know, an agent my queen was following on Instagram, put it out. Hey, I'm taking like new people on board. My wife absolutely loves her approach, and she's a signed up author with Bloomsbury. So she was like, okay, she's not only an agent, but she's signed up by Bloomsbury, which is one of the biggest publishing houses. This woman knows her shit. She got really excited. She's like, Mark, I need to write this book. I was like, okay, what do you need? She's like, I'm going to need this time every day. Like, it could be 6-7 days a week. Okay, I've got it. The rules changed. I adapted the entire ecosystem of her family life to meet her needs. Crazy. She is on fire now. She has finished a book. It's the first book I've read. She's on fire. The creative gusto of my queen is like, her heart and soul is on fire. And you should see and feel the happiness of her. She's speaking to the girls. Our girls are reading the book. It's amazing. But there's that. She started her podcast. I've started a podcast. I changed my career completely. We have 8 horses, for Christ's sake. It's the most ridiculously imposing thing to have. And it's like, whatever. But like, 8 horses, tons of animals. We've 23, 4 animals. It's craziness. But we adapt our entire lifestyle to keep these. We're now working on, we've bought a small minibus to convert into a camper to go traveling during the summer. We're going to earn enough to get somebody that will stay at the family home with the animals and tend to the farm long term, year round. This is available only because we had changeable rules. There's no fixed rules. We make the rules. Burn up all the other rules. Doesn't fucking matter. If it doesn't work in our marriage, we just go with our own terms. We go with our own vows. We go with our own sexual expression. There are tons of teachers out there telling you what way you have to do it. It's like, honestly, what way you have to relate. And if you don't relate that way, you know, if a woman shows up that way, just drop kick her out because, you know, she's being abusive. She's being unfair, blah, 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 blah. There's rules. I'm like, fuck the rules. I hold space for abusive, I've held space for my queen's, you know, theoretically abusive behaviors in the past, because why? I wasn't untrustworthy. I was evoking deep abusive responses in her from my lack of safety, and I own that. It's her same nervous system. She's not abusive anymore. I'm fucking a rock of trustworthiness. Because I had changeable rules, we were playing an infinite game, we're able to hold space for every bit of epic fucking genius that comes through us. That's only available in the infinite game. again, you know, the symptoms of the finite game is unseen, lack of libido, zero sex drive, resentment, depression, disease, overwhelm, caught in the head, sentimental about the good old days. Fuck the good old days. Play the infinite game. Open up. Have changeable rules. Have an ecosystem that can change and adapt to whatever is necessary. That includes your financial resources, and get clever and just know the game. Start your own business if you like, change career, just do whatever is necessary. It's a slow but sure process, but you know, over a year you mightn't get as much done as you can imagine. But man, we are 6 if not 7 years into a whole life review that we did 6 or 7 years ago. It's astonishing how far we've come. Again, we had to break away from the finite game paradigm into the infinite game. The signs of success in playing with the infinite game, you know, with the changeable rules, is dreams come true. Books are written. You know, the I don't know who you're becoming is greeted with excitement. You know, like the finite game, it's like, I don't know who you are anymore. You'll see that like played out in films. It's like, I just don't know who you are anymore. It's like, get the fuck out of my face. I don't know who you are anymore. Because I'm evolving. I'm a spiritual being. You're not expected. Like, what? Since when is it an expectation that you're meant to know who I am? In my evolution, clearly, I'm refining in my healing path radical new parts of my authentic expression as a human being, as a spiritual being. Get fucking used to change. Again, this is my queen hold space for new shit that's coming through me the whole time. I'm holding space for stuff that's coming through her all the time, because our paradigm is the infinite game. We're not putting expectations on each other to remain the same. Our expectation is, hey, I hope you're going to constantly evolve and new shit. And that tests you. That tests where your nervous system is at. Can you hold space for the radical, unfiltered, uncensored expression of your queen? It's a fucking challenge of a lifetime. Are you able? Yes. If you have, you have to get rooted in the black and white way that you have the infinite games approach, that there is no endpoint. You're not looking for one conversation that will do it all. It's going to be 100,000 conversations and you're still not going to have resolved, because playing the infinite game, you're creating more problems because if you're expanding that much. The problems you create are, fuck, we've now moved, you know, job, country, financial resources, everything is different, you're in a different place. There's still a struggle, because why? You're now living in a different country, new job, new friends. It's exhilarating and frustrating at the exact same time. There's no end to it. Infinite game. You're going to be feeling more alive and actually getting younger as the years pass. And you just, the love life infinitely deepens. That's a key part, because with the changeable rules, everything and anything can come true. Can come true your nervous system, your queen's nervous system, your kid's nervous system. You absolutely love spending time together, because it's like this mastermind of radical authentic expression. It's awesome. Can you feel my energy? I fucking want every single one of you out there listening in, doing the work in Heroic Husband's Men's Circles. Those guys in the circles, they know that's the game. Little bit by little bit. Don't expect the miracles like after a couple of months, but you stick with the game and you start seeing that, you know, your queen's heart comes through. Her project, she's feeling safe. The safer she feels, then she's doing the new business. It's a really regular thing. I'm seeing it popping up. Queens start coming with new ideas, new projects that they hadn't been doing before. Because why? Their king on the job is now holding space in the infinite game. It's fucking awesome. But if that's after a year of guys being in the movement, it's sort of like myself, my queen. Like, what the fuck is available, you know, 3, 4, 5 years into this way of life? After 10 years, man, it's off the charts. It's off the charts. The last one of the infinite games, and it's an essential one to speak to, is no defined endpoint. Again, the infinite game, you're not trying to get to the end of an argument. You're not trying to get to the end of suffering. You're not trying to get to the end of intensity. You jump head first into the storm of life into the storm of unpredictability every day. Yes, there is a certain, there's the masculine practice of awareness, and there's a, your predictability, your certainty is in, you're rooted in awareness, so you can hold space for any change outside of you. That's the ultimate. The infinite game can only be played by a man who is aligning his life behind coming from awareness inside of himself, because otherwise you'll do your head in. It's the key practice that allows guys in such large numbers, and there's more coming true on the podcast here, the Marriage Transformation Heroes series. Those guys are rooting themselves from a paradigm of the infinite games, first and foremost, but it's the from a level of they are awareness. They can hold space for any shit that comes through and still remain grounded. You know, fights, messy first draft conversations, stalemates, they're greeted with a curiosity as to what unexpressed human need is fighting to come true. It's like you get excited, you start knowing, lean into this conversation, lean in. Okay, there's not agreement yet, but what beautiful, epic shit is going to come true. There's some spiritual truth of my queen that's wanting to come true. I've just yet to witness it. I've just yet to figure out what it is. So you remain curious and open. You're like a scientist. What's going to happen in this beautiful conversation, this experiment today? And it's day one always. That Jeff Bezos and Amazon, like, it's day one always. I'm bringing that in Heroic Husbands, in the movement, because, you know, it's day one always. You're not looking to the point at which you've already nailed it. The battle is over. It's day one always. And from there, like, there's no defined endpoint, because why? It's like, you don't want an endpoint. An endpoint is stalemate. An endpoint is what? Same shit, different days. It doesn't matter how happy you might seem, but if there's no expansion, you know, you could be like, it's the winning the lottery idea psychologically. It's like, oh, at the end of all my problems, because you were coddling yourself that, you know, for 30, 40 years of your adult life, all your problems were financial. And then you become like a $100 million euro lottery winner overnight. And you're an unhappy asshole like 12 months later, and you've like, it doesn't work. It's mindset always. And your mindset in marriage, if you're looking for an endpoint where no more uncertainty comes up, no more shit, no more healing, no more arguments, no more bullshit, no more frustration, no more unexpected, oh, now you want to do that, do you? Just because you're a boring fuckhead, because you're just stuck, addicted to your same shit, different day career, same shit, different day ways of traveling, your entire habits, because you don't have the spiritual balls to play the infinite game. It's day one always. You wake up to life going, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. You've because you've been playing the infinite game, there's a momentum behind you. You're excited to jump into the day. There's excitement. There's novelty. There's cool shit, cool projects. You're doing stuff in the house with friends and hobbies and activities in your job that's deeply meaningful. You're living on purpose. You have a deep focus, concentration, because you know how precious life is. And it's like, it's day one also. You don't know what the fuck your queen is going to come with, but you're going to greet it with, yeah, okay, you want to do that now? Well, that's completely different from the trajectory that you've been speaking for the last 12 years, baby. The last 20 years, you know, you've been gung-ho to do this, 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 and this, and now you're going to an entirely different direction. Hey, if that's what your heart and soul is feeling, let's see where it goes. It's awesome. So your queen meets today, your kids meet today, and you meet today going, you know, it doesn't matter what I've been painting into my life yesterday, the last 10 years. It's blank canvas. If all of a sudden I just want to do that and like drop the podcast and go playing guitar, I'm looking at a guitar in front of me here, guys. If I want to do that, I'm allowing myself the freedom to go, I can think like that. I don't have an obligation to any human being on the planet to do and live my life in a certain way, including this movement. Otherwise, it becomes a weight on my shoulders. I fucking love what I'm doing. I'm on fire. I'm on purpose. There's 100,000 men circles going to be in existence in the next 10 years. that's what's happening, because hey, playing the infinite game as a heroic husband and fearless father, it's insanely rewarding. Insanely rewarding. It's all happening through the infinite game. And by the only defined endpoint is death. But that is not something that the infinite game is afraid of. Death inspires conscious full engagement with life individually and collectively together, going, hey, like what one of the most inspiring moments in my life was witnessing my own mother passing, because there was a part of me going, hey, it's the closest person there has ever died to me. It's like I promised her, it's like, hey, I'm not going to grieve and be sad. She wanted that. I was like, I'm gonna use this to the full, ma'am, to live my life to the full. And she, like, tears of joy with both of us, and it's like that was my, like, a deathbed promise. So you use death. It's the potential endpoint to the infinite game. Depends on your spiritual paradigm. That might be the endpoint, but that inspires your infinite game within the beautiful extent of your human life, playing this dance with your queen. Guys, it's my expectation that the fire of this, that there's a fire burning in your belly, that your recognition of the finite games, it's like, oh, the known players, we have to have the known. Fixed rules. Oh, for the fear of God that we might do, you might do something different outside of, you know, the accepted norm that's given to you by society, that you inherited from your parents, etc., etc., etc. Fuck that. You know, agreed upon endpoint is like monogamy. We're locking this together till death do us parts. And it's like, you know, you constantly seeking that, the pain and suffering and the crap, her bullshit, her feedback, her criticism would end. She's gifting you her best. You know, there's no end point. The time she stops giving you shit is the time she's lost hope of ever being happy with you. You don't want to seek the end of that. The end of her fire. Bring it in. The infinite game coming into landing. It's like there's the known husband and wife, beautiful, but then there's the variety of the unknown. You accept open-heartedly within yourself, bring your queen in on the conversation if she's willing to go there, but it's like, hey, you are needs-based human beings. Morality to decide, like, you've human needs to feel seen, heard, and safe and supported in your authentic human evolution and expression. Have open conversations about needs, dreams, desires, goals, infinite game. Bring in the unknown, come on in, players. Changeable rules, man, set up from today, deepen the flexibility, the openness, have a beginner's mindset that is open to whatever is necessary in an adaptation to your thinking, speaking, your taking action to support the radical, authentic expression and freedom of you, your queen, and your kids to come true. You will do whatever is necessary, even if it takes several years to establish that. You will not relent. Radically attractive masculine leadership embodied in that. Changeable rules. I can hold space, baby, for anything that comes through you. I'm that fucking space safe. I'm that fucking awesome as a human being. I'm one in a billion. No, fuck a billion. I'm one in a trillion, billion, because I don't know what million. That's it. There's not another guy alive that's as fucking loving as I am for you. I play with that. I speak this to my queen. And then I set the challenge to myself to actually back that shit up. It's available to you, guys. It's available to you. And then no defined endpoint. Stop. Like, attack the storm. You know, expect and want and have a deep need that there's, like, newness and variety that's coming your way. Because if you stop evolving, if you stop changing and those around you aren't safe to change and evolve and bring their authentic self, man, that's the fucking dead point. You're walking dead. It's bullshit. It is not the heroic husband's way. If you need any support in this journey, in unlocking the infinite games approach that can allow you have like just a blank canvas to your entire married life experience, in your communication with your queen, your deep intimate connection with her, in your parenting, in the all-round infinite depth of radical whole life fulfillment and happiness and joy that's available to you, man. It's the full five-star, five-course meal from the top table of life. That's the game here. If you would like support in that, jump into the podcast description now. There's the link to Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. There's new intake happening. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today, guys. Jump on that call today. The oak tree of your most incredible life transformation is available to you now. Plant the fucking acorn today. Jump on that call. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.